51551. Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back to Saturday. I'm joined in studio by Padraig Tobin, who's a late leader of Aonthu, Raidhe Cronin of Sinn Féin, and joining us from the Limerick studio is Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Niall Collins of Fianna Fáil. You can text us 51551, WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. Now, there were a few revelations at the latest meeting of the Public Accounts Committee this week, and there are further stories in the newspapers about it today, about the fact that the former Garda Commissioner Drew Harris was accommodated in a property owned by the OPW while he was in that post at the head of an Garda Síochána. The rent paid on the property was at a rate of €1,750 per month. And this rent did not increase over the 7-year period that he lived there, we learned. This is what John Conlon, who's chairman of the Office of Public Works, said in response to questions from Labour TD Owen Kenny at the PAC on Thursday. And the clip begins with John Conlon speaking about the renovations that were undertaken on the house to the tune of €400,000.
The works weren't done in preparation for leasing to a Garda Síochána. I want to emphasise that. The works were done because it was part of the programme of work we're doing in upgrading properties in the Phoenix Park.
In relation to the occupant himself, was the occupant paying rent?
As I understand it, the rent came to us from a Garda Síochána, and it was market rent.
So on Garda Síochána were paying the rent?
That's my understanding. The arrangements with us was with a Garda Síochána.
Yeah.
And that was at the PAC on Thursday. Minister of State Niall Collins, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Did you know about this?
No, I didn't. And it isn't the case that I should have to know about it. It's not uncommon, particularly in the private sector, that people, part of a remuneration package may include living accommodation or a living allowance. So from that point of view, I don't think this is a particularly, I wouldn't describe it as you've described it, as a revelation or that there's something.
Not uncommon in the private sector, you say, but has there ever been a precedent for this, for the head of an Garda Síochána to be given the use of an OPW house?
And not that I'm aware of, but I suppose just to give the context and the background, in 2017, when the recruitment campaign, prior to the recruitment campaign for the, the then Garda Commissioner was about to get underway, the policing authority would have scoped out the job and the job spec and the remuneration package. There would have been deliberations between the policing authority and the Department of Justice in relation to that. And it was felt that particularly if you were to try and attract in somebody from outside of the state, or at least consider somebody from outside of the state, that you would have to potentially offer accommodation or a remuneration package. And that's ultimately how it played out.
Okay, and that's important context. But if that is the context, why wasn't this transparent?
Well, I wouldn't say it's not been transparent.
Well, you didn't know.
Well, why should I know? I wasn't in the Department of Justice at the time.
Number one, you're a TD, and number two, it is spending taxpayers' money, isn't it?
But sure, it was discussed openly at the Public Accounts Committee.
But when the horse is bolted, I mean, why?
No. Well, I think that's very wrong of you to describe it like that, Cormac. To be fair,
but it's after the fact, isn't it?
And I think, it's an OPW property. The accounting officer for the OPW accounted for it at the Public Accounts Committee. Rent was paid. I think there was an issue. All right,
by Garda Síochána, isn't that right?
Well, rent would be paid as part of his remuneration package, and I'm sure the individual would be fully tax compliant in terms of it being a benefit in kind.
But again, just to be clear on this, and just so everyone's on the same page, let's say, it is unprecedented, isn't it, that the leader of an Garda Síochána would have their rent or accommodation paid for?
Well, I think it's important to also put into context that the Garda Commissioner, the leader of an Garda Síochána, is a person who's on call 24/7, and they have to be available within, obviously, the greater Dublin area, close to the Phoenix Park. So, I suppose big jobs, the captains of industry, it's not unusual in the private sector.
I know, but
it
is
unusual.
I'm acknowledging that it is.
Yep. It is an exception within the public sector, but that's not to say that the public sector can't do this.
I understand.
It was done in state property. Rent was paid. The person, I'm sure, paid benefit in kind, a tax element of that to the revenue commissioners.
That I mean,
we have to be fair to everybody here.
So in terms of you say there's no lack of transparency, but Alan Kelly asked a parliamentary question to the Minister for Justice on the 8th of October last, and he asked specifically for the details of the packages of the present and former commissioners. And Jim O'Callaghan didn't say, didn't give this level of detail then. So, I mean, that goes to the question of transparency. But there is another question, and I'll raise this with the panel in just a second, but I want your opinion on this, Minister. And that is, the rent was set in 2018 when he took up residence there at €1,700.50. And over the next 7 years, it never increased, despite record rental inflation.
Yeah.
So do you understand why that is?
Well, I think it's a fair comment, and it's a fair question, and it's a fair criticism of the OPW. The rent should have been increased, but I suppose at the end of the day, the state was the landlord here, and the state was paying the individual, and the individual was paying benefit in kind tax back to the revenue, which is the state. So, you know, I think you're trying to make something out of this that it isn't. You know, it's a state-owned property. The property was refurbished, not with a view to it being let to this particular individual,
okay.
but in any event, the state availed of the opportunity to use this property because they needed it as part of a remuneration package for a very, very high-profile, sensitive job.
Perhaps I am. Am I reading too much into this, Padraig Tobin?
No, first of all, the Gardaí Síochána were asked, were they paying for this rent? And they refused to answer previously. It's clear that the minister didn't answer this previously as well. It's also not clear whether this was advertised as part of the remuneration package or not. Was it open to everybody else that applied for the job, or is it specifically open to Drew Harris? And then secondly, this shows a two-tier situation, because we have, you know, a Garda getting $250,000 a year as an income, rent-free, and also vehicles worth €600,000, while at the same time
well,
we
not
have...
rent-free, benefit in kind, as mentioned,
and also
it was part of the remuneration package for a key public figure.
So you look at, like, at the same time, we know of Gardaí having to sleep in their own cars in Dublin because they cannot get accommodation in the city. We know of Gardaí looking for subsistence and travel, which is a small bit of money to help them be able to stay within the locality that they're policing and not getting the increases that they need. And actually, the government looking to decrease that at the moment. We know that the government have decreased their pension entitlements for Gardaí over the last while. And in terms of protection as well, you know, we're told that this is for security. We know that Gardaí have been put on the front line in places like the Dublin riots, in terms of Clondalkin, in terms of City West, where their actually safety has been jeopardised by poor decisions in the past as well. So this is,
Hang on, that has been defended robustly by people who made those decisions. In relation to what you say, the Gardaí have told us that the contract for Drew Harris was a matter for the Department of Justice. Are you directing those criticisms in to Niall Collins and his colleagues?
Oh, there's no doubt. Like, I noticed Niall there tried to slip in the responsibility to the OPW in terms of this. These are ministerial decisions in terms of the employment of the most senior Garda in the state.
But he's given the context. I mean, what particularly is wrong here?
Well, as I've very clearly stated, this was hidden, and there's no doubt that the minister didn't bring it to didn't answer questions openly on this, and the Gardaí Síochána did not answer questions openly on this, and I don't believe that this was actually advertised as part of the remuneration package either from the start, and you know, in relation to the fact that it very clearly underlines a two-tier system in terms of rank and file Gardaí and those at the top. There are double standards here, and those double standards are not just about the Gardaí. They relate
to
the whole of the political system.
But Raedha Cronin, do you see a double standard here?
I absolutely do. It's interesting that this was a home that was, and it's a substantial home, $400,000 was spent upgrading it, so it was worth a lot more than that. And the state is here saying that 1,750 is the market rate? I'm sure a lot of people are looking at houses that are worth a lot less than 400,000 before renovations, paying 3,000 euros for their rent, saying that, you know, oh, the government think that 1,750 is the market rent. They've also, while they're not, they won't agree to rent freezes for ordinary people. They believe that this should have been rent freezed since 2017. So absolutely there is double standards
here. Can I ask you about that is a pertinent question. Let me ask the minister on that. So the market rent that applied to this house was 1,750 euro. But this house, not for Drew Harris specifically, it has to be said, but had undergone a 400,000 euro renovation. You'd build a house anew almost, you might say, for that. But and it also had, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Niall Collins, increased security spec on this as well. So, I mean, should more rent, an increased rent, not have applied?
Well, you've put that to me already, and I've already acknowledged that. It is my view that rent should have been increased over the tenure of
just to be clear, not increased during the tenure, but should have been an increased rent beyond the 1750 at the very start even.
Well, I don't know what the rates were in 2017, but suffice to say this, market rate should have been applied. And in the event, the individual would have been paying benefit in kind to the revenue commissioners, and the market rent or the rate of rent being charged to the person would have been part of the calculation of the benefit in kind owing to the revenue commissioners. Mm-hmm. So were he paying a higher rent, he would have been paying less of a benefit in kind. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure if there was a loss of revenue or income back mm-hmm. to or monies owed back to the state. But I do take the point that the OPW should have done their work a little bit better in terms of setting the rent and increasing the rent in line with market rates over the year. That goes without saying. But
address and some of the points made by the panel here, that Gardaí may be listening to this and they may be struggling to pay rent and they may wonder, what about solidarity? What about the morale of the force? Has this story damaged that, do you think?
No, it doesn't. And I think I don't think the comparison is a valid comparison. This person is the Garda Commissioner. He would be a person that would have to be in Dublin, as I've already said, on a 24/7 basis on call. That is part of the job. There is a security detail and a security element to the person's to where the person and the individual lives. That security assessment would have to have been done, and that mm-hmm. would have to have been considered.
Okay.
Of course, there are wider issues in relation to workers right across every sector within our economy. And by any yardstick, the government has engaged with the Garda representative organisations, okay, with the social partnerships. We have a broader social partnership agreement. Salaries are increasing, training allowances are increasing.
And there's ongoing engagement, you say, on those issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just
it's
very
wrong,
briefly,
it's
see,
wrong,
my frustration is in this,
Patter,
is that the government...
It's, okay, no, it's wrong of Patter to try and play one off against the other in relation to this.
So let's hear what Patter has to say.
So what's frustrating for people to hear is that Niall and the government can make arguments to say we need to create this remuneration package because we have to be able to recruit and hold this type of skill. And yet when we asked them to do exactly the same thing for rank and file Gardaí, they actually said, we can't do that. They have to basically adhere to the pay and conditions of the
and
rest of the public service.
And we have record numbers of people
and,
applying, you know, to become Gardaí, Patter.
It is quite
record
significant.
Numbers,
it is just
which
seconds
speaks for itself.
It is quite
your
significant
argument.
That right now a
two-bedroom...
Like okay, one voice, and let Patter speak.
You're not,
it's quite significant that a two-bedroom apartment in the city is now 2,000 euros currently in the state. That if two Gardaí were to marry each other and try to buy a house in the greater Dublin area at the moment, they wouldn't be able to buy a house currently. So if we're going to use that metric that we have to have the paying conditions necessary to retain and recruit senior Gardaí, that logic has to be exactly the same for new Gardaí coming into the service right around the country.
Okay, and I know you disagree on that. I want that
argument just does not stand up to any scrutiny.
I do want to move on, if I may, for a second